You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blogontheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Monday, November 11th, 2019. It is Veterans Day, so let me start off by saying a very happy Veterans to all of our United States veterans, all the men and women who have served bravely for our country. We are forever indebted to you. You have our eternal gratitude. You are very special today and always. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. This is our post-game episode for Sunday night's Cowboys-Vikings game. The Dallas Cowboys falling to the Minnesota Vikings by a score of 28-24. We have a lot to get into. Full disclosure, because that's how we roll here on The Ocho, I'm recording this very late Sunday night, if you want to call it very early Monday morning. And so the game is recently over, and obviously we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of Monday's reaction. We'll get to hear from Jason Garrett when he meets with the media. He will also obviously be on 105.3 The Fan in the morning. He'll be on ESPN San Antonio in the afternoon. He's likely going to be asked a lot about the team's decision to run there at the end. We're going to talk about that as well, and we'll probably hear some things about, you know, injuries. I mean, you know, this was a very physical game, and obviously, you know, I'm not necessarily hoping for that or you know, forecasting that. By the way, speaking of the forecast, though, it's supposed to get very chilly, so bundle up this week. But it did just kind of seem that way, and so you don't know what will emerge, what will pop up. But wow, I mean, first thoughts, just a very, very, very tough loss, I think, for the Cowboys. In many ways, I think you can argue this was the toughest loss of the season. Obviously, the New York Jets loss is the most embarrassing. But at the end of the day, and I maintain this, losing to an AFC team is the most preferred option. If you told me I had to lose four games in a season, I would want them to be all four of the AFC opponents. And that's why, you know, the Cowboys are going to be in New England in a couple of weeks. And I'm going to be there, by the way, with my wife and my parents. And so if you're going to be there, let me know. But I mean, those losses mean the least. The losses that hurt the most are your division games. The losses after that that hurt the most are your conference games. And so it certainly was hurtful that the Cowboys lost to the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. But those losses, while frustrating, they weren't like gut-wrenching. And, you know, the New Orleans Saints, by the way, lost on Sunday to the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, I know I tweeted some things about this. If you were an optimistic person kind of Sunday evening before Sunday Night Football started, I think you allowed yourself to believe that maybe the Cowboys could get back into contention for a first-round bye. You know, maybe if the right things happened, you know, because it is worth mentioning that the Saints and 49ers still have to play each other. And by the way, we're talking before Monday Night Football, so who knows, maybe the 49ers stay undefeated. But I mean, you know, it was a possibility. It would have been a larger one if the Green Bay Packers lost to the Carolina Panthers, but that didn't happen, obviously. But the fact that the Cowboys lost ruins it. And so now you've got three losses in your conference to teams that are either going to win their divisions or probably be wild cards. I mean, the Saints are winning the NFC South. We agree there. And, you know, either the Minnesota Vikings or Green Bay Packers are going to win the NFC North, it's very likely that one of them's the other two, or one of the other one, I should say, is one of the two wild cards. I think you can make an argument that the Rams are certainly on the outside looking in from a wild card perspective, because the other wild card is clearly going to be the Seattle Seahawks if San Francisco does kind of keep things up. And so you've got Seattle and then probably Minnesota if Green Bay wins the division. But that's another thing. I mean, we're going to get into this game, I promise, but I mean, the Vikings winning this game is also bad for the Cowboys in a way that's not obvious. I mean, it's bad because the Cowboys lost, but it's also bad because either the Vikings or Packers are going to win the NFC North, right? We all agree with that. And so the Vikings are closer to that possibility with the win over the Cowboys, right? That's obvious. So what if the Vikings win the NFC North, right? Because that's possible. That could definitely happen. And so if that's the case, the Green Bay Packers will be a wild card team. They might even be the top wild card team, maybe the 5 seed. And if the Cowboys do get into the playoffs, it's going to clearly be as the NFC East division winner. They will probably be the 4 seed, which means they will host the 5 seed. Imagine hosting the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. That would be just terrifying. But that's a long ways away. Looking at this game, again, this was a tough loss. And I think it's such a tough loss because you got such an incredible performance from Dak Prescott. Dak finished the night, I mean, he threw the ball 46 times, and it's hard to believe that given how much the Cowboys ran the ball, but threw the ball 46 times, completed 28 of them for almost 400 yards, 397 yards passing for Dak, 3 touchdowns. He did have the interception on the Hail Mary. I know it technically counts, but I know that you know that that isn't on Dak. He was only sacked once. I mean, just a great performance by the Cowboys offensive line from that perspective, although he certainly had a lot of pressure in his face. I mean, you got an all-time game from Amari Cooper, 11 catches, 147 yards, and the touchdown, 3 sideline catches. You got what is inarguably the best game that Randall Cobb has played as a Cowboy, 6 catches, 106 yards, and his own score. Michael Gallup, didn't hit 100 yards, but 4 catches for 76 yards, and his own touchdown. I mean, you got touchdowns from your top 3 receivers. Your quarterback obviously had 3 passing touchdowns, almost had 400 yards. And yet somehow, some way, the Cowboys focused on running the ball. I don't understand. I mean, it's a difficult thing to understand. I mean, honestly, truly, it is. David Moore from the Dallas Morning News tweeted this out. On Twitter at David Moore DMN, this stat compliments of DC Stats, who is Bob Thomas, does a fantastic job pulling out all sorts of Cowboys stats. Sunday night's game was only the 3rd time in franchise history that the Cowboys failed to pick up a first down rushing. Now, ESPN's Ed Werder added some clarification, noted that the last time was in 2007 against the Washington Redskins. That was a different situation. That was, you know, you were having such success passing that running wasn't necessarily necessary. The Cowboys tried to run the ball so much. From the Dallas Morning News also, John Owning tweeted, these are first down numbers. On first downs against Minnesota, the Cowboys passed 14 times for 108 yards. So on 14 different first downs, they threw the ball and picked up 108 yards. They ran it 16 times on first down for 39 yards, 39 to 108. It's just, I mean, it's hard to understand. I mean, it really is difficult to process why the Cowboys were so hell-bent on running the ball. You know, this is clearly a run-first team. I think people would say that. But if you watch them, I think you know that this is a balanced offense. This is an offense that can do a lot of things. I mean, as evidenced by this game against the Minnesota Vikings. But they certainly are, you know, they have a reputation at the very least for running the football. And so teams game plan for that. And it was, you know, Jerry Jones mentioned this when he met with the local media after the game, that it was obvious from the jump that Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings were out to stop Zeke. And the Cowboys just totally played into that. I know I keep saying I don't understand, but they really truly just played into exactly what the Minnesota Vikings wanted them to do. It's hard to believe that an NFL team that really forget an NFL team that, you know, pretend it's your office. I mean, wherever you work, I don't know where you work. I mean, a group of people would say, you know, it's like when a teacher would tell you, you know, because sometimes you would get that one teacher that would be like, this exact question is going to be on the test, you know, and it was, I'm not talking like a multiple choice question. Like I'm talking like in your calculus class or like your physics class or something that was a little bit more advanced. And so you knew, you know, and they would tell you like, we're just going to adjust the numbers, but you didn't even have to know like what it meant. You just knew how you had to know like the process of it. And the Cowboys were in that situation. They knew that the Vikings were going to try to stop Zeke, and they just fed into that. It's unreal. Really, really unreal. Dak Prescott was marvelous. I mean, really, 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 really great. And by the way, we do have a lot of questions from you that we took on Twitter, so we'll get to those here in a bit. Dak Prescott was fantastic. I think this was one of the finest games he's ever played as a member of the Dallas Cowboys. He had 397 yards passing. That's the fourth most he's ever had in a game in terms of yardage, and the Cowboys lost. And they actually lost the game that he had the most yards passing in a game. For the 463 yards he threw against the Packers earlier this year was the most he ever had in a game. So the Cowboys have lost two of the four, you know, games in terms of Dak Prescott's most yardage ever in a single game. They are 2-2 in those games from Dak Prescott. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why the Cowboys insisted on burning first downs. It's kind of what it was. It was like, okay, Dak, we got the ball. We're just going to burn this first down. You start with 2nd and 10. And to Dak's credit, I mean, he pulled them out of holes. Now, you know, well, before we get to this, I want to finish the Dak discussion. I thought something was really interesting in the post game. Michelle Tafoya from NBC, she caught up with Kirk Cousins, obviously the quarterback for the Vikings, and she asked him about the Vikings defense slowing down Zeke. And I thought what was interesting was Kirk didn't even answer that part of the question. He was asked that, and he just turned it into a compliment for Dak, which I think says a lot, because I do think the narrative is shifting. Before we talk about that, here is what Kirk Cousins told Michelle Tafoya on NBC as soon as the Minnesota Vikings beat the Dallas Cowboys.
It's got to be something to watch your defense shut down a player like Ezekiel Elliott. How important was that?
Yeah, it's a tough task. You know, I thought Dak played as well as any quarterback I've seen this year with the way he played tonight. So our defense, you know, did a great job at the end there, getting stops and making the final play. You know, it always comes down to the last 2 minutes, and we did a great job.
I think it's pretty telling that Kirk Cousins would just be all, oh, Zeke, that's cool, but Dak played really well. And my point with that is I think we're at a point. And I know that, you know, we do this a lot at Blogging the Boys. Like, there are Dak doubters and stuff, and, you know, we'll call them out and stuff. But I do think that we're at a point where most people are in agreement that Dak is very good, or at the very least, somewhat good. I do think that that is a universally accepted thing. Maybe not universal, but you get what I mean. Like, the majority of people now believe that, especially when you have a game like this. I mean, this was vintage Tony Romo, right? I mean, we all know that. I mean, Tony Romo's teams, you know, let him down. And it's not just the coaching staff. I mean, you know, Dak was let down by his defense tonight. And I want to talk about how the Cowboys handled the first part of this game, because, you know, everyone's going to talk about the last two or the last possession and the two runs, and we'll get there. But starting off, the Cowboys, you know, their first three possessions ended in Minnesota Vikings territory. Okay, so the first Cowboys possession, they had to the Cowboys received, and so they were facing a 4th and 6 from the Minnesota 39-yard line. They decided to kick a field goal, and look, I don't love that decision. I mean, that's a long field goal. I mean, anything over 55 yards is long. And you know, you think back to the record breaker that Brett Maher had a couple of weeks ago against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the end of the half. I mean, that's a different thing. That's, you know, we're either going to make this kick or we're going to go into the locker room, whatever. But you know, the first offensive possession, I don't know, that seemed a little desperate. But Brett Maher has shown the leg before, so you kind of, you know, well, you know, maybe that's a normal kick for him. So whatever. So the Cowboys kick it from the Minnesota 39-yard line. They miss that field goal. The Minnesota Vikings go on to score a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph with the, you know, the amazing grab. And so the next Cowboys possession ends at the Minnesota 48-yard line. So you're technically over the 50, but I get it. You know, that's not super far out. It was 4th and 6. Maybe you still think, you're definitely not kicking a field goal there, obviously. But, you know, maybe it's not something you want to go for. Whatever. That one I kind of understand. But it's the third possession that's the most unforgivable to me. The Cowboys were facing a 4th and 4 at the Minnesota 40-yard line. The 40-yard line. And they decided to punt, okay? And they punted the possession before, too, and Minnesota went and scored a touchdown there. So that's what made it 14-0. But you cannot, especially after you've now gone down 14-0, you cannot punt on 4th and 4 from the Minnesota 40-yard line. You just can't. I mean, that is a level of conservative play that is troubling. At that point, because, you know, It's easy to sort of pick and choose and look back in hindsight. The Cowboys lost by 4 points. And so if you go for any of these three, right, the 4th and 6, the 4th and 6, the 4th and 4, the missed field goal, punt, and punt, if you go for any of those three and you pick up one, so you just have 33% success, right, you probably at the very least squeak out a field goal, right? Like, especially if you, you know, you get a little closer, you're talking to, you're inside the 40 at that point, generally for most of these. I mean, so if you have those 3 points later in the game, then you don't need a touchdown. I mean, and I'm not trying to like build this hypothetical or whatever, but you get my point. You cannot punt on 4th and 40 at the Minnesota 40-yard line. That felt a lot like the punt the Cowboys had in Houston last season in overtime. That's what it felt like to me, and I'm sure a lot to you as well. I mean, they were down 14 points, and they punted on 4th and 4 with 40 yards to go. That's unforgivable to me, and I think that, you know, that contributed to the hole that they were in. And to Dak Prescott's credit, I mean, he almost led them out of it. I mean, he really, truly did. And I don't want to give Dak all the credit. I mean, Amari played so well, and Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup, but this defense was just so bad. I mean, the same way that, you know, the same way that, you know, Mike Zimmer and the Vikings were hell-bent on stopping Zeke. I mean, it was obvious that Dalvin Cook was going to be their show, and the Cowboys just could not stop him. I mean, just could not stop him. Dalvin Cook ran all over the Cowboys. And, you know, I'm pretty certain that at one point over the offseason, we said here on the Ocho that you could make an argument, and this was in the offseason, to be clear, you could make an argument that the Cowboys linebacking core had surpassed the offensive line to be the best overall unit on the team. Now, some of that was that we didn't know who Travis Frederick was going to be coming back. Connor Williams hadn't played super well in the time that we saw him last season, so there was some skepticism there, right? And obviously, the Cowboys linebacking core was coming off a really great season. The linebacking core, by far, has been the most disappointing unit on the team this season. The offense has done well for the most part, generally. The run game, not so much against the Vikings specifically, but overall, it's been fine. The defensive line has, you know, not been the hot boys or anything, but I think, you know, they've had their moments. I thought Michael Bennett played well, by the way, against the Vikings. And the secondary has been disappointing, but we knew it would be. I mean, you know, we weren't expecting big things there, unless you're expecting a trade for Jamal Adams, but the Cowboys linebacking core people were counting on, and it was very, very bad. Just got destroyed. Sean Lee had a great game against the Giants. That's true, and that's in the past now. I mean, they were so bad against the Vikings. So bad. We've got some questions to get to, and we have really the run plays to get to at the end. I mean, those were something. Before we do, though, let's take a very quick break. Let's hear a word from our sponsors. Let's get through that. I promise we're going to get through this. Things are going to be okay. The Cowboys are still 5-4. They're still in first place in the NFC East. There's still a lot of hope. Let's take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Cowboys, down by 4, got the ball and had to make something happen. right? And I think we all thought, okay, Dak's been on fire. Dak's been doing really well. Dak's going to make this happen. Dak's going to really, you know, we're going to have this whole next week where everyone's going to be able to tweet all this stuff and talk to all the Dak haters and whatever. And in Dak Prescott's total and complete defense, he was spectacular on the Cowboys' final drive. Dak Prescott, before the moment that we're going to get to, was 6 of 7 for 79 yards. Like, it was no big deal when 6 of 7 for 79 yards. The other play on that drive was a Zeke Elliott run for 4 yards, okay? So let's set the stage here because, you know, I know you had a rough night Sunday night going to sleep and everything. Maybe you don't remember everything. So this is very important because this was obviously the end of the game. So you look at it. The Cowboys reached the 2-minute warning, okay, because that was what was happening here. At the end of the game, they had a first down, and they were at the Minnesota 19-yard line. So the 2-minute warning comes and goes. The Cowboys come out of it. So it's first and 10 at the Minnesota 19. Dak finds Amari Cooper for 8 yards. Boom. We're in business at the Minnesota 11. So you have 11 yards to go. It is now second and 2. Time is running. And this is a good thing because the Cowboys are up by 4 points. And, you know, you technically don't want to score too fast because you're scared and the Cowboys defense hasn't done well against the Vikings. I get all that. So it's 2nd and 2. And Dak hands off to Zeke Elliott. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? This is a bad idea. The run has not been there against Minnesota. What are you doing? Zeke picks up no yards. Okay, what are you doing? The clock stays running. Okay, look, you wanted to drain some clock. And you know what? Let's pause for a moment and let's revisit this. Or let's visit, not revisit, but you get it. Damon Marks from the Dallas Morning News on Twitter, Damon Marks DMN, tweeted this after the game. Dak Prescott indicated after the game that the strategy in running Ezekiel Elliott at the end of the game was to make sure they didn't leave too much time on the clock for the Vikings. He's refused to question the play calling on a couple of occasions. So, okay, we now fully understand that the Cowboys were trying to drain the clock. And you know what? I don't have the biggest problem with that if you're running it one time. And if you read what I wrote about this, you know that. I wrote about this at blogonthevoice.com. If you want to run it once there, I get it. I mean, you want to drain clock. You're scared that your defense can't hold the Vikings if you do score. Because if the Cowboys score a touchdown, it's going to be 31-28, right? Assuming Brett Maher makes the extra point. So you've got to protect that three-point lead because if Minnesota goes down, they kick the field goal, Dan Bailey's clutch, whatever. You go to overtime, you get the picture. So I get it. But it is easy to pick this apart in hindsight. But that has to be priority number 101 out of your first 100 priorities at that point. Like priorities number 1 through 100 have to be scoring the touchdown. Okay. Like that's just the way it is. And so the Cowboys, you know, okay, fine though. You want to run the ball there. Okay, fine. I can make my peace with that. I cannot understand why you felt the need to run it a second time because the Cowboys come out on 3rd and 2 and they run it again to Zeke Elliott. That run is indefensible to me. I don't know how you can do that when your quarterback has been on such fire over the entire night. I mean, you take the ball out of his hands and you give it to Zeke on a night where you haven't picked up a first down rushing for only the 3rd time in franchise history. It's just a really questionable thing. And so then you put yourself in this hole like you've been doing all night, and Dak Prescott has to bail you out on 4th and 5, and he can't. And, you know, that really sucked. And, yeah, you managed to – and that's the other thing. I mean, they did manage to get one more possession out of this because of the 3 timeouts that they still had in their pocket. And, you know, Jeff Kavanaugh from 105.3 The Fan made a great point about this, by the way, on Twitter. Tavon Austin was clearly told to call a fair catch in the interest of saving time. And there's a screen grab out there that makes that look worse. I think it's hard to know without seeing the All-22, so we'll know that later in the week. But Kavanaugh brought up a point that Vikings defenders probably stopped running the moment they saw Tavon call the fair catch. And so maybe they keep running. Maybe it's not as, you know, not as damning if he doesn't call for a fair catch. Who knows? But the point is, I mean, just some horrible decision-making in the final minutes of this game from the Cowboys, and that's really kind of what did them in. I mean, again, when you look back at the way they handled the first 3 offensive possessions, I think, but you think about that. So these are the Cowboys' total, or these are all of their possessions, I should say. So they start off their first 3, missed field goal, punt, punt. After that, they catch fire, touchdown, touchdown, it's halftime, touchdown, field goal, and then the turnover on downs there at the end. I mean, it was a crap sandwich where the breads were the first three offensive possessions that were disgusting, and the final two were the brain farts. The middle was that chunky meat that was so awesome. I mean, they bookended it with some horrible decision-making, and that was too much for them to overcome, especially against the Vikings team that was able to score points. It's not too much to overcome when you take on, say, the Minnesota Giants, or not the Minnesota Giants. Goodness, it's been a long night. When you take on the Minnesota, gosh, I almost did it again. When you take on the New York Giants, it's not too much to overcome because they can't score like the Vikings. But, I mean, man, they just... It's unbelievable. Let's get to your questions, though, before we totally wrap up. So I tweeted this and do this every week. If you have questions about what happened, you can tweet at me and we'll get to them here on the podcast. And we do that every day. I mean, by the way, if you have any questions that you want us to talk about on the podcast, you can tweet at me or Instagram message me. I'm at RJ Ochoa on both. You can always shoot me an email, rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. Friend of the show, Lynn Snell at Cap'n_Linsano says, I have one question, RJ, just one. Why? I wish I knew the answer. I wish I knew it. So Dallas Cowboys fan, the astutely named, on Twitter at RomoCop999. So Dallas Cowboys fan says, I feel like you just have to run with this on the first question. Why did we run on first down so much? Also, no Pollard. I mean, we talked about how the Cowboys didn't pick up a first down, you know, rushing. They did run a lot in first down, as we mentioned the stat from John Owning. I mean, it sounds funny because this is like Twitter lingo and people love to joke about this and talk about this, but they wanted to establish the run. I mean, that's really the truth. It's hard to believe, but that's the truth. They believe that. And so, I don't know. Lewis Luttrell on Twitter at LewisLuttrell1 says, if the season continues like it has, is it feasible to see a coaching change mid-season, or will Jerry wait until after the season to make a coaching decision? I've already said before, I truly believe this. There's no benefit to making a change mid-season because, first of all, what's your change? I mean, you know, I know that everyone's going to say, well, I want Lincoln Riley to be the head coach. Dude, Lincoln Riley is not leaving Oklahoma in the middle of the season, and that is not possible anyway. But so what? You want Chris Richard? I mean, that's been everybody's answer, right? Like, oh, let Chris Richard coach the Cowboys. Why? I mean, the secondary is awful. Chidobe Awuzie is awful right now. And so I don't think you want Chris Richard in charge of that thing. And again, the truth behind this is the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, they already made the decision before being emotionally compromised by this season that they were going to ride this out. They were going to see what 2019 brought in Jason Garrett's contract year, and they were going to make a decision at the end of it. You got to ride it out at this point. I mean, I know it's frustrating. I know it's whatever, but that's what makes the most sense. I don't think that we see a change midseason, personally. Alfonso, friend of the show at PonchoMTZ17, says, why would you not run a quarterback keeper on those plays where you needed 2 yards for a first down? That's a great question. I mean, if you're going to run it, why not run it with Dak? I mean, honestly, Dak didn't do a lot of running tonight. I mean, or Sunday night. I mean, I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, you know, I think the Cowboys were very clearly trying to get Zeke involved, and it did not work. You look at this, you have some more questions. Why didn't we see the cat? I know Jason Garrett makes North Turner look like a Hall of Fame coach. Goodness, I mean, that's a tough way to put it. Depressed Cowboys fan on Twitter at Ennis Y. Kallick, hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, says, there's no universe where running the ball on third down after you just got stuffed and keeping it out of your on-fire quarterback's hand should ever be considered. I agree with that. I mean, I totally agree with that. Maximiliano Flores on Twitter at Max Flowers says, why are they not letting Dak dictate the end result when he's been killing it for the entirety of the game? I don't know. I mean, again, these are all good questions. They literally got one of the greatest performances that Dak Prescott has ever had in the NFL and took the ball out of his hands in the most important moment. It's not like, you know, here's the other thing. It's not like Dak Prescott had one of the finest performances he's ever had as a Cowboy, like from his own merits. And I'm not trying to take away from Dak either, But he had this incredible game, and so did Amari Cooper. So did Randall Cobb. So did Michael Gallup. So you literally had all of these aerial reasons to go that route, and yet somehow, some way, they did not. Joe Tamburo on Twitter at Councilman33 says, "Why are we continually unprepared to start games? These slow starts are killing us." That is a fantastic question. And, you know, it's interesting because obviously a lot, I would say a lot, but most NFL teams script their first few plays. And we've seen before that that's typically in seasons past when the Cowboys have been really good and they've actually been really bad at making adjustments and figuring things out as the game goes along. Somehow, some way, things got flipped. And you look at this, I mean, in terms of being unprepared, in terms of, you know, not capitalizing on things, the Cowboys lost to the Jets, whatever, that sucks. But their other three losses, okay, they lost to the New Orleans Saints without Drew Brees. They lost to the Green Bay Packers without Devontae Adams. And they lost to the Minnesota Vikings without Adam Thielen. That is so unbelievable. Those are three huge advantages that they were afforded before the game even started. That's the other thing. Like, it's not like, you know, Drew Brees was knocked out in the middle of the game, and so they were unprepared for that. So this goes to Joe's point. They had the entire week's, essentially, because the Devontae Adams one was a little iffy, but I mean, they had the entire weeks leading up to those games knowing that Drew Brees, Devontae Adams, and Adam Thielen were not playing, and they still could not stop all of those. Well, I say they couldn't stop all those offenses. They didn't let the Saints score a touchdown, so maybe that's a different argument, but I mean, they could not. Think about that. Dalvin Cook ran all over them, and they were so aware that Dalvin Cook was going to be the center and the focus of the Vikings game plan because Adam Thielen was gone. It's very, 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 very difficult to understand. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. The Cowboys are 5-4, and the world is not ending, I promise. But they have a lot of work to do. I mean, I think it's clearly going to obviously take the NFC East title for them to be a playoff team. We all agree there. And I think it's fair to say that 10 wins is probably what it's going to come down to. It could be 9-ish. It might have to be 11. But, you know, más o menos right now, if I had to approximate, it would be 10 wins that you need. So you have to have 5 more wins out of your next 7 games. Here are the final 7 games of the regular season for the Dallas Cowboys. This week, and because we're talking week 11 now, the Cowboys are going to Detroit. We don't know what's going to happen there with quarterback Matthew Stafford. He might play, he might not. He definitely was friends with Clayton Kershaw growing up, so we'll see. Maybe that's one of your 5, right? The week after that, you got to go to New England. Whoa, that's tough. I still maintain, I think that they'll win that one and drop the game after to the Bills, because that's just kind of who they are. They're going to pull off something amazing and rope you back in, and then they'll do something weird like lose to the Bills. And I don't mean weird, because, like, I'm not trying to say the Bills are bad. The Bills are really good, but it would be weird, you get my point, to lose to the Bills after you beat the Patriots of all teams. So let's just give them 2 of the next 3, however you want to slice it, right? So then that means you got to have 3 more, okay? You go to Chicago 7 days after Thanksgiving. Fine, let's give them a 3rd one because the Bears are the Bears, okay? Then you get a little mini bye, and your final 3 games, you got to have 2 of these. And one of them you've got to have are the Rams, Eagles, and Redskins. So maybe you get the Redskins, that's 4. You have to have that Eagles game. You have to. You absolutely have to. I mean, it could come down to that. That could be the final sort of say in all this. You have to have that game because the Eagles, they have their work to do. The Eagles are going to play the Patriots coming out of this bye, and they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. Those are going to be tough games for them. Personally, I think they split them. I think because the Eagles aren't going away either. They're not about to lose both of these games. But after that, I mean, the Eagles still get to play the Giants twice. You know, I mean, so there's some favorable things coming their way. They still get to play the Dolphins. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be an interesting time. But 3 of the next 4 games for the Cowboys are on the road. 2 of the next 4 games are on Thursdays. The next home game the Cowboys will play is Thanksgiving Day. That will be Cole Beasley's return. So we'll see. You know, the last Cowboys home game now, looking at the Vikings game, featured a different return in Dan Bailey. He got the last laugh. Dan Bailey was perfect. So good for him. Cowboys are 5-4. It's going to be a long week, but we're going to get through it together like we always do. Don't worry, my friends. Hopefully your Monday is fantastic. I hope you have the best Monday ever. Don't let this get you down, because, again, it's it feels bad and there are some bad things, but there's still a lot of reason to be hopeful and we can figure this out. We can sort through it all together. We can have a good time doing it at the very least. That's, you know, that's why we all show up. That's why we lift all them weights. So have the best Monday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. And with all that being said, we will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.